matter of fact, the Rambam himself puts it together. Because he says, Hakel nechbana is a mitzvah la'avo li'yiro sashnevenem Hashem ha'karatira. Okay? Ve'heyachi ha'derech la'avoso v'yiroso. Why does the Rambam put them both together? She's keitzed ha'derech la'avoso, keitzed ha'derech li'yiroso. No. Keitzed ha'derech la'avoso v'yiroso. You see? It's keitzed ha'derech la'avoso v'yiroso. So you see the Rambam maintains in the Yad that it's one activity. It's one activity.
It all results.
So the pshat is like this. The pshat is it's one action. The one action has two machayvim. There are two machayvim in that action. One machayv is to reach yira, and another machayv is to reach ava. So in the yad, it's broken down by the machayvim, not by the performances. That's the way it would seem. The Rambam breaks down the mitzvahs. But the mitzvahs are, even though it's one action, the mitzvah doesn't go according to the way, the mitzvah doesn't go according to the actions. Like when God tells me, do this. So it's only one performance, so it should be one mitzvah. No, it's one performance, but the one performance is brought about by two obligations. There are two things that obligate me to do this performance. A and B. Of course, when I do the performance for A, I'll have B. I do B, I'll have A. But the obligating factors are A and B. According to the Rambam, the Aruch HaZakeh, the mitzvahs are broken down according to the obligating factors. The machayvim. What's machayiv mean to do with the action? There are two machayvim, it's two mitzvahs, even though it's one performance. It could be, it could very well be that this was a theoretical consideration of the Rambam. But then he changed his mind from his earlier formulation, because the Pirush Mishnayos preceded the Yad HaChazaka. It could be he changed it, you see. It's possible. It could be that that's the reason why he changed it. Could be originally he couldn't maintain that if it's one performance that has two results, that it should be considered two mitzvahs. And later he changed his classification. Now he classifies the mitzvahs. But it would seem clear that there's two different approaches that the Rambam himself had to this problem. It would seem that way.
Yeah.
But the Rambam doesn't quote. The Rambam says, "V'nemar said Hashem lekechatira." He doesn't say that Esar Hashem Lekechatira has any other meaning. You see, as a matter of fact, he does talk about Oved Meira. He speaks about it in the end of Hilchos Tshuva. But he speaks about it not as a mitzvah. He speaks about it in a derogatory fashion. It says like this. He says, interesting. The Maila Savram Avinu. Shekaroi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oyevai. Yes, the Rambam in the Mora seems to say very much like he says in the Pirush Mishnayos. He says, for this phrase clearly shows that fear of God, this is in chapter 53. For this phrase shows that fear of God is inculcated into our hearts when we act in accordance with the positive and the negative precepts. But here he says both, positive and negative. Yep. But the truths which the law teaches us, the knowledge of God's existence and unity, create in us love of God, as we have shown repeatedly. You know how frequently the law exhorts us to love God. Compare. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. The two objects, love and fear of God, are acquired by two different means. The love is the result of the truths taught in the law, including the true knowledge of the existence of God, whilst the fear of God is produced by the practices prescribed in the law. Note this explanation. In the Pirush Mishnayos, he says that the positive mitzvah is Ava, and the negative is Losasai. And the Mori says, no, he says positive and negative is Yira, and knowledge is the Ava. Yeah. I hear the Rambam in the Yad also in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Yud. The Rambam says like this: the Rambam says, if a person does mitzvahs not because of Yira and not to receive reward, only because of his love of God who commanded it, then he's Osek Lishma. V'amru Chachomim, and he says, "Minei Avas Adon Kol Oros Yisiva Ba Hareis Osek Ba Lishma." It's because Avas Hashem, that's why he does it. V'amru Chachomim Loilam Yasek Adam Beter Mitzvah Filo Shelo Lishma Shemitelch Shelo Lishma Ba Lishma. In plain words, when you teach ignoramuses, so you only teach them to serve Meira. Until they get more knowledge, then Chachma Yisera, Megalim lehem rozem at maat. Slowly, little by little, you show them this idea. You know that there's nothing really to be afraid of here, but the real purpose is for your own benefit. But you do it slowly. Until they serve Hashem Me'ava. So therefore, the Rambam over here in the Yad is really the way he describes the Yira. He's actually he's putting it down. He's putting it down as something which is because it'll lead to Ava, but this actual performance is not to really be praiseworthy. And in the Pirush Mishnayos, he says that it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. The Yira Sodeh Hashem Gachatira. It's a funny thing, huh? It's an open contradiction. Let me ask you another question. We'll take a steer from the Yad itself. A steer in the Yad itself, and that's true, okay? All right. We have a lot. So like this. So, Oyved me'ahava, Perek Yod al-Chabez, Oysek b'ter b'mitzvah, v'hoylech b'nesivah s'chachma, loim ipnei dover ba'olam, v'loim ipnei yira s'ara, v'loim k'dei lira s'ateva, elo isa emes b'nei shu emes v'seva teva lo v'beglola. V'mayla zui mayla g'delam oyed, v'ein kol chacham zeichala. Interesting thing. All right. Now we say like this in Halacha Hey. Kol ha'osek b'torah k'dei lekabel schar, k'dei shelo tagia olav peronius, harei ze osek shelo lashma. V'kol ha'osek bo lo leyira v'lo lekabel schar. You see, lo leyira v'lo lekabel schar. Elam et nei avas adon kol ha'osek shetziva bo, harei ze osek bo lashma. Right. V'amru chachomim. Loilam Yasek Adam Bater of Filosh Lailishma, Shemitesh Lailishma Bolishma, Lefikach Kishimalandam Sektanavas and Nashim Kolayam Art, Kitir Bedaitan, Yishak Mukhachma Yisera, Megalm Lam Rosem Maat Maat, Umagil my son in Zebenachas, Achi Yasigu Viedu Viavdu Meava. You perceive this, Tira?
Yes.
In the first Rambam, the Rambam says that this level is a level that ain't called Chacham Zechala. Right? Which means even Gedolei HaChachamim, talking about Gedolei HaDor, in Kol Chacham he's talking about Gedolei, even Gedolei HaDor don't reach this level. That's what the first Rambam says. The second Rambam says when you teach ignoramuses, you teach them little by little, then you wean them from the fear, and when you wean them from the fear, then they serve Hashem Me'ava, which would seem that any ignoramus can be serve Hashem Me'ava. This is that a steer or not? Any ignoramus who becomes a little more intelligent could be Sarah Hashem Me'ava. We have to distinguish here between Lishma and between the first and Halacha Beis of Ava. What's the difference between Lishma and between Ava? What's the difference? I put it this way. The difference is like this. The difference is, one, in Halacha Hey, that's the last Halacha, it's a question of motivation. It's a question of motivation. What is motivating the person to do such and such an activity? So the Rambam says the only proper motivation is a motivation which is based upon Avas Hashem, which means he has love of God, and that's why he does the mitzvahs. That's why he does the mitzvahs. But that's Halacha Hey, you see? That's Halacha Hey. Halacha Beis is not talking about motivation. Motivation comes into the picture. But Halacha Beis is talking about a different experience. It's talking about a different state of mind. You see? The thing is like this. In Halacha Hey, it's the same individual. It's the same individual. The only thing is that he's exchanged one motive for another motive. See? Different motive. The motive is because he loves God. But the individual's psychodynamics have not changed in Halacha Hey. It's just that he substituted one motive for another motive. First his motive was fear, and now his motive is love of God. But the psychodynamics of the mind have not been altered at all, you see. In Halacha Beis, the Rambam's talking about an alteration in the whole psychodynamics of the individual, which means he's a different person altogether. That means that in that situation, you see, that's Lav Kol Chacham Zechala. That's a different story. The term Avas Hashem has two meanings. Avas Hashem means in the normal individual, where he has regular, his mind is working like in a regular way. And the reason why he's doing things is because of love of God. Because in halacha hey, it's a normal individual, like I said. But the motivation has changed. In halacha beis, it's an alteration in the personality of the individual. It's a different thing altogether. Okay? It's chelas ava. It means in halacha beis, there's the release of energy that I spoke about before, which takes place. That's a different thing. That's a different experience. That experience is only very rare individuals have that. You see? But the other halacha hey, that's possible for everyone to have. You see, that's possible for everyone to have. Now, in halacha beis, the man is lovesick. This means that he is constantly involved in experiencing love of God. It's a constant. It's like a love affair. He's constantly involved in that. That's all. He goes to sleep at night. He can't wait to get up in the morning to be involved in the in chachma and alas in chachmas Hashem. You see, it's a constant thing. It's overpowering. It overpowers his personality. He's not involved. Nothing else has any importance. Just like when a person's in love, nothing else has any importance. He doesn't care about anything. See, he'll give all his money, all his time, all his efforts, everything. So the thing is that that's an alteration of the personality. That's halacha beis. In halacha hey, there's no alteration of the personality. It's just that his activities are directed towards the proper motive. Like, what's the pshat? Let's take, for instance, in the Yisrael HaTorah. He says, the keitzad hi aderech la'avosei v'yirasei. Is that halacha beis or is that halacha hey? What do you say? He says, b'shor she'is b'inin adam b'bru of a ma'isav an afloyim. Yir b'am chachma she'en la'erech v'en la'keitz. Miyadu oev m'shabeich m'far that beis or that hey? Tai v'gadel leida akel agadol. What do you say? Beis or hey? I think that in Perek Sheni, it's not beis, it's hey. It's hey. Because the Rambam does not say that this mitzvah of Ahavta Eser Hashem Lekech on Yiras Hashem is only for very few people. As a matter of fact, that was the Abarbanel's criticism of the Rambam's definition of Ahavas Hashem. The Rambam doesn't say that. And the Rambam says, L'tfi advarim elu is ani mevar klolim gdolim ma'isa ribin olam. A person must understand certain things about the universe, he says. K'may sh'amr chachamim binyin, Ahava sh'mitech kach ata makir es misho homar v'hoya olam. You see, to have this experience, to have the experience, and to of Avas Hashem through recognition of Chachmas Hashem, that is necessary. Otherwise, how could it be Avas Hashem? Otherwise, how could the Rambam say in Halacha Hey that Avas Adon Kol Aretz Shetziva Bo, he loves God? If he never experienced the love of God, how could he have it? The experience he has to have. But the question is, just because he had the experience doesn't mean it's an alteration in the personality. He had the experience. Miyadu, that's right. It's an experience. Momentarily, yes. Momentarily, right. Now, momentarily he has the recognition. But then he goes away. Everybody has. The person learns the Gemara. He sees a nice Sfara. He sees how everything works out. Beautiful enjoyment. Tremendous enjoyment. Wow. He just, at that moment, he doesn't want anything else but Torah. 2 hours later, it's a different story already. It's a different story, you see? To have the experience, you must have the experience in order to have Avas Hashem. It's impossible to have any Avas Hashem without that experience. But the difference is between having the experience and then it just falls away and then the personality actually comes back and takes over. You see? Momentarily, there was a break there. But then normal personality comes back. It shows the psychodynamics of the mind hasn't really changed, you see? It's just that he's able to have this experience. It's not a change in the psychodynamics. The change in this, an alteration in the psychodynamics is only when it's constant. When there's a constancy there. When the person's entire makeup has changed and there's nothing else, there's no energy flowing towards anything else, only towards this. You see? Over here, it's not the pshat that the energy really is only flowing towards Avas Hashem. The energy is flowing all over. But it's drawn at a certain time, like a magnet. It's being pulled towards a certain thing. So then he enjoys it. He recognizes Avas Hashem, you see? But then as soon as the magnet stops, it goes back. The energy has a lot of gravitational pull from other sources, you see? So it goes back to its original state. But, of course, you can't upset the state. You can't upset the state through the act of enjoying the Chachmas Hashem. You can upset it. But it's not a change and not an alteration in the personality. That, everybody could have that. Everybody could have that experience. That experience is capable for everybody, and most everybody to have. Ava Shem and Yeshem, that's fine. And once a person has had that experience, then from there he could always do his actions based upon the fact that he knows what Avas Hashem is. He can consciously say, well, I know what Avas Hashem is, that's the right thing, and that's why he could direct his actions towards that good. It means a change in motivation. You see, it's a change in motivation. Without the experience, of course, he can't make a change in motivation. But once he has the experience, he can make the change in motivation. But Halacha Beis is a different story. In Halacha Beis, there is no energy going anywhere else. You see? The difference is expressed practically in the constancy of it. The change in psychodynamics is a matter of constancy. Matter of constancy. That's the difference, you see? It's like the difference between neuroses and normalcy. Everybody really has the same... psychologically, everybody has the same. Psychologists have shown in the last 50, 60, 80 years, they've shown that everybody has the same tendencies as a neurotic. There's no such thing. When you see years ago, they used to think a neurotic means somebody's totally different. No, it's the same as everybody. What a normal person dreams at nighttime is the way a neurotic acts out. If a person would live according to the way his dreams are, they'd put him away. You see? But what's the difference? The difference is that a normal person only has a momentary, when he sleeps, he has a momentary lapse, so these things emerge. But when he's awake, the normal personality reasserts itself, and the energies become directed to different areas. In a neurosis, it's what happens is there's a total upheaval, and the energies are directed constantly towards these different objects. You see, that's a qualitative change. It's quantitative, but it's qualitative. You understand what I mean? The quantity produces the quality, the amount of energy involvement. The same thing over here. It's the amount of energy involvement which makes the difference. And really the Rambam says it. The Rambam makes the point of this. Yeah, here it is. Here's Rambam's Halacha Gimel. Halacha Gimel. The Ketzad hiya ava ruyuhu shievas Hashem ava gedola yaseira aza ma'oid. You see? Aza ma'oid, very strong. Achetei nafshek shur b'avas Hashem. V'nimtza shege batomid. Ki ilu chayla chuli ava. She'en daite penuya me'avas Hashem isha. Hu shege batomid. Bein b'shiftei, bein b'kumai, bein b'shashu oichel v'sheisa. Yesem yizeh tiyavaz Hashem b'leiv oyev v'shegim b'tomid. K'mosh yirtzani v'chol, k'mosh yisivanu, b'chol v'chol nafshecha. Right. And the Rambam says also, here it is, Halacha Vav, Dovi yaduah bar she'en avaz kash baruch nekshares b'liba shlodom ha sheyizge b'tomid, k'roi. V'yazev kol mashar b'alam chutz b'mena. Okay? Alright? L'pidei tiyavah. Okay, fine. So the thing like this, that's what the Rambam says, okay? That's the way it works out. Two different things. There's two things. There's the Maisa Mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Then there is the state of Avas Hashem. Two different things. Okay? Maisa Mitzvah, everybody could do. The state, that's Lo Kol Chacham Zochala. It's a different thing. Different ballgame. Big distance between the two. Big distance between the two. It's not just a quantitative factor. It seems like a quantity. Oh, he's involved more, he's involved less. It's a qualitatively differentiated type of thing. All right, that's what the Rambam says. The mitzvah is the maisa, but the full kiyum of mitzvah is the state. A mitzvah Hashem can be formed in two levels. It can be formed in the level of maisa, it can be formed in the level of state. All right. How does this help us in regard to the Rambam over here? Since we said that there's both, you see, the Rambam says like this, since we said both are possible, so it's possible for a person to experience Avas Hashem through a maisa, right? But the state is still the same. That's what we're saying, right?
Yeah.
So in terms of the state, really, his energies are not directed only towards Avas Hashem. His energies are directed towards other things. Towards other things, right? So therefore, the Rambam says, Avoid me Ava, Avoid me Yira. Avoid me Ava means do the action of Ava. The Rambam is referring to everyone, to everyone. The Rambam is referring to everyone. And he's not referring to the level that Avram Avinu was on. That's a separate thing. But the basic mitzvah satera is according to everyone, according to the Rambam in the Pirshei Mishnayos. And by everyone, there's two things. Avoid me Ava, avoid me Yira. Which means the action must be an action of Ava, but you must recognize, but the personality isn't changed. That's only a level of very few chachamim reach that level. But the mitzvah is liyira said Hashem. The mitzvah is what? What's the mitzvah said Hashem l'kechatira? Said Hashem l'kechatira. is insofar as he really isn't completely reached the state of Ava. You see? Then, insofar as his other emotions reassert themselves, he has to work with those emotions, Meira. So he works both simultaneously. Both simultaneously. Yeah. And the fact is like this. The fact is there is no abrupt change. You see, the Rambam doesn't have an abrupt change, because you see, even by the ignoramus, as he says, first you change them, Meira, right? Then he says, and slowly introduce them to the idea, little by little. Why slowly? Because you can't make a jump. You can't make a jump. It has to be a slow process. In stages, as they remove themselves from this idea. The reason is because a person's emotions don't follow the logic immediately. He sees the idea, but it takes time for the emotions to follow. You see? Now, insofar as his emotions are involved in what? In the regular mundane existence. So he might know what Avas Hashem is, but his emotions are still involved in the mundane existence. So insofar as those emotions are involved, he must work with Yira over there. He must work with Yira. In that area, he must work with Yira. That's what the Rambam means. Avoid me Ava, avoid me Yira. That's what it means. Yira means, what does Yira mean really? Yira means when you're doing something for another motivation. That's what Yira is. Ava means you're doing only for one thing, it's a natural thing. Yira means in Yira there's a conflict. So it means like this, that a person's, what is the, how should a person's Avodas Hashem set itself up? It sets itself up in two ways, in a pure activity of Avas Hashem, and in an activity of conflict also. There must be an activity. If you don't have the activity of conflict, that's what Yira really is, an activity of conflict, working against the emotions. Because the emotions, fear means, I want to do something, but I stop myself from doing it. That's what fear, that's the definition of fear, right? So there are two ways that a person has to perfect himself. One is through an act of conflict, and one is through a pure act. The greater the person is, the greater the pure act, the area of the pure act increases. You see? But he still has, an average person, even a great chacham, will still have the area of conflict. Unless he reaches the level of those chachamim that the Rambam talks about. As very few reach that level of Avraham Avinu, where there is no conflict anymore. But Esad Hashem Lekechatira means that he has to have, and he has to serve Hashem out of conflict. Tira, that's what it means, out of conflict. He has to daven, it's hard for him, he has to force himself to do it. Why? Because he has to know that this is the right thing to do, is the best thing for me. He doesn't mean the year over there of the Avodim, that are the Tipshim. He doesn't mean the year of the year of the Tipshim that he mentions. I just want to make one thing clear. The year that he mentions of the Tipshim in Halacha Hey is not the same year he's talking over here, said Hashem Lekechatira. Because this is something which is praiseworthy, and this is something which he denigrates. You know what I mean? The year of the Tipshim means that a person, he has the wrong ideas. He's afraid of some harm. He thinks that if this is what he does, this is gonna, God's going to zap him. That's the year of the Tipshim. You see? But the year over here, said Hashem Lekechatira, is not the year of the Tipshim. It's the year of a Chacham. He recognizes that he has to reach a certain goal, and therefore he does certain means. He employs certain means. He makes certain adjustments, certain restrictions upon himself. He plays certain restrictions upon himself. That's a Hashem Lekechatira. You know, he doesn't trust himself. He knows that he can't trust his own nature. He can't. Hashem Lekechatira over him means he can't trust his own nature. He's fearful because maybe he'll do the wrong thing. So he has to impose certain restrictions upon himself. There's conflict, you see. That's the Esed Hashem Lekechatira. But the purpose is not because of a foolish purpose like the Tipshim do, because they have silly ideas. If you do this, God's going to hit you. You have a whole idea of Schar Vainish is wrong. This Esed Hashem Lekechatira doesn't mean that the Rambam never calls Hashem Lekechatira. This Esed Hashem Lekechatira means he has the right idea of Schar Vainish. But what? But the only thing is that he can't allow himself to live a totally natural existence where he doesn't restrict his emotions. You see? That's Oved Me'ava. He has to restrict his emotions. There has to be conflict over there because his emotions are still attached to the wrong thing. Insofar as they're attached to the wrong thing, he has to have restriction. That's the era. You see? Okay? Now, that's really what the Rambam in the Mora fits in very well now with this idea. Because the Rambam in the Mora says that all the mitzvahs, whether they're asay or los asay, are the main purpose is yira. What does it mean, yira? It means they train the... Yira means where there's a conflict. We are training controlling the emotions and directing. It's not a natural activity. It's not a natural flow. The only place where you have that natural activity, which is no conflict and only pleasure, That's in the intellectual. That's what the Rambam says in the Gemara. It's exactly the way it fits in, alright? Okay. Now, the only thing we have to, is the assays and the los assays and the rum and the Pirshnei. So before we get to that, it's a problem. Before we get to that, I just want to mention that it could be why the Rambam, I just want to say one thing should be clear, that the Rambam in the Yad is not in conflict with the Rambam in the Pirshnei Mishnayos insofar as a philosophy of life is concerned. They both agree. The only machlokes is, between the two, is the categorization and the interpretation of the pasuk Esad Hashem Elokei Chatira. That's the question. The Rambam's question was one thing. According to the way he has it in the Yad, the difficulty is, like we mentioned before, the difficulty, because it's two mitzvahs, it's just one activity. The difficulty with the Pirshei Mishnayos is, it's not difficult with the Pirshei Mishnayos, is that it comes out that you have a mitzvah which, when a person reaches the ultimate state, is not, it falls away. It's true that there are only a few people that reach that state. That's why the Rambam maintained that way. And he said, no, the mitzvah is always for the person who reached that state, spot for that mitzvah. But in the Yad, apparently the Rambam changed his mind, and he held that that you can't have a mitzvah which falls away when you reach a certain level. So he reinterpreted Esad Hashem Elokei Chatira. There's another problem with the way he did. But that was the Chakira. The Rambam had a Chakira, which way to classify Esad Hashem, which way Hashem Elokei Chatira should be interpreted. You understand what I mean? But the concept of Derech HaChaim is no machlokes. That I want you to understand. That's no machlokes, Derech HaChaim. The way that a person should live, whether Esad Hashem Elokei Chatira is a separate mitzvah, like it is over here, that's a separate classification of mitzvahs. But the Derech HaChaim, that there must be both conflict, and that there must be also the natural flow, you see, this is definitely, everybody agrees, both Rambams agree, there's no machlekes on that. The Derech HaChaim is not a machlekes. That's what I want to point out to you. It's just a question of classification of how you explain Esad Hashem Elokei Chatira. You understand what I mean? Now the only problem we're left with is what the Rambam means by the mitzvah say, mitzvah less say. That we're going to leave. The question was, in what way does mitzvah say have to do any more with Avas Hashem than with Yiras Hashem? Yeah. Ramban has the same idea in Yisrei. In Zohar Hashem HaShabbos HaKachach. That's Perek Chof Pasuk Ches. Now over this, look at this. Emes Ugam King. Ramban says, V'lochein mitzvah say gedol and mitzvah lo say. Kenosh Yo'ava gedol and mea Yira. Interesting. Because Ava is better, superior to Yira. And Ramban gives a reason, philosophical reason, why I say is docha losa say. That's why the onus is greater. Why is it losa say is malchus and then I say is not malchus? The onus is greater by losa say. The osin bo din kumgan malchus and misa. They know osin bo din the mitzvah say. Klal. You see? Just like Ava is greater than Yira, in the same way, if a person is. The person doesn't have Yira, he's worse than if he doesn't have Ahava, because Ahava is greater. Okay, so he's not on the higher level, but if he doesn't have Yira, so he's worse, he's worse off. Ramban uses this principle to explain why I say is docha los asay, and why in los asay there's malchus, and in asay there's no malchus. But just let me briefly review once more. What we're saying is that it's true that a person's action. It is true that a person may do a positive action out of fear, but that positive action results in nothing more than a negation. Like a person arms himself because of war. So he's doing a positive action, but the result is only an avoidance. Whereas even if a person does a negative action, it would seem, doesn't matter positive or negative, if the motivation is a positive one, so then it will result in something positive. Yeah. Okay, it will result in something positive. But the question, however, is why does Ramban nevertheless? Why does Ramban identify the mitzvahs loisase with something negative, with fear, and the mitzvahs asay with something positive? There's love. Well, we said a person can avoid something because of love also, right? Okay. Now we said like this. Really, we mentioned last week that there's two different ways that a person should serve God, right? One is the highest way is what?
We say the highest way is me'avo. Me'avo. What does me'avo mean? He has to do both simultaneously. What does me'avo mean? Me'avo is love of the thing itself, and then also where he the life of conflict. That life of conflict. Correct? He has both. He has avo and he has yira. Yira is the life of conflict, where he's in conflict with his own emotions. Correct? Okay. Now the thing is like this. Now let me just say one thing. That if something is to have a positive result, if something is to have a positive result, it cannot be accomplished through a negative. Through a negative. Okay? In other words, like this. If I'm interested in a positive, if they have a positive relationship, so anything which I do to avoid disrupting the relationship is not really a part of the relationship itself. It's only something which is done in order to permit the relationship to exist. What I'm saying is like this, if a relationship, in the nature of a relationship, the essence of the relationship is something positive. You can't have a relationship in the negative. Relationship per se is a positive thing. It's not the avoidance of something. It's the positing of something. It's the existence of something. Correct? Now, insofar as the relationship per se is concerned, everything which has to do with me, which ties me in with the existence of this relationship, must be a positive nature. So you'll ask me, but there's things that I do negatively in order to maintain the relationship. The answer is, those things which I do negatively in order to maintain the relationship are only a means for the relationship to exist. But in the actual relationship, it must be something positive, because if it's not something positive, then at that moment I don't partake of the relationship. In other words, since a relationship per se is of a positive nature, that's the definition of a relationship. It's not the avoidance of, you mentioned the two forces that got a person, the avoidance of pain and the seeking of pleasure. Now, in the seeking of pleasure, insofar as something is pleasurable, that means it has a positive nature, right? Now, anything, in order for me to partake of that pleasure, there must be a positive action which directly ties me into this thing. You see, anything which is negative can only serve as a base in order to permit the relationship to exist. But it cannot in any way be an action which actually makes me partake of the pleasure of the relationship. You see? You understand what I mean?
Okay.
Let's say, for instance, take an activity of basketball. A person wants to play basketball. Now, can a person play basketball through negative actions? It's impossible, because the nature of basketball is a pleasure, which is a positive thing. So therefore, anything he does, which is in basketball, must be positive action. But you'll ask me, but the person, in order to play basketball, make sure he doesn't lose the basketball before he gets started. He watches it, he guards it, right? So, so the answer is that, or he will not do, he will avoid certain things, he will avoid disrupting the court. I mean, certain things he will avoid. So the point is, yes, but all those things which he avoids are only a means in order to set the base, so that he can have the activity. But those things, you can never have a negative action, you see, which is inherently part of the activity. That's an impossibility. Correct?
That's an impossibility.
In avoidance, it doesn't matter. Either positive or negative, it could be avoidance. I can do a positive action in order to avoid something, or a negative action in order to avoid something. It doesn't really matter. Either way, I'm avoiding. But in relating to something, insofar as, let's say, pleasure is concerned, so then in order to be involved in a pleasure, there is no such thing as a negative way. No such thing. The negation can only be a preparation, a preparatory action for the pleasure. See? But it cannot be the pleasure itself. Okay. Now, insofar as perfection is concerned, what is perfection, basically? Is perfection something positive, or is perfection something negative? What do you say? I say no. Perfection is only positive. Because perfection means a relationship with God. That's what the ultimate perfection is. And a relationship with God is a positive thing. It's a positive thing. Therefore, I'm saying, Elias, all the restraining from things which are harmful are not really, every time you restrain yourself from something which is harmful, it is not really directly involved in the relationship between you and God. Because it's an avoidance of something which will disrupt the stage of which is necessary for me in order to have this experience. But the actual avoidance of something has nothing to do inherently with my relationship with God. Since relating to God is a relationship, a positive relationship, and perfection of man is an activity, perfection of man is not an action. Perfection of man has to be an activity. Must be something which he's doing. Now, if it's something which he's doing, so then you understand very well that he can't possibly arrive at something which he's doing through a negative action, through avoidance. The only thing is that you must avoid certain things in order that the possibility to set the stage for the relationship, for the activity, right? The activity has certain requirements. You have to avoid certain things. But the inherent activity requires something which is positive. Okay? Requires something which is positive. Really, what is Ahava when we say Ahava? Ahava Hashem, Ahava Oivid Me'ahava. Ahava means that he's motivated by what? He's motivated by the positive relationship, the positive activity. That's what Ahava means. Ahava means that he's directly involved in the activity itself. He's directly involved in the activity itself. However, in order to be directly involved in the activity itself, you see, he isn't, since a person isn't involved in that activity at all times, like the Rambam says, not involved in the activity at all times, so those times during which he is not involved in the activity, he has to spend much of it in avoidance, in negative actions. But what's the purpose of the negative actions? The purpose of the negative actions is only so that he can have a situation in which he can maintain a situation in which he can have a positive experience, you see? But the essence of Ahava is the positive experience. Okay? Now let's take a look. This is what the Ramban means. So it brings us a little closer to understanding the Ramban. Now the Ramban means it like this. That perfection, which is, and that's why Ahava is greater than the Yira. Why is Ahava greater than Yira? Because Yira means where I do something not, like we said last week, Yira means where I do something, it doesn't really mean fear. It's a mashal of fear. But it means where I am in conflict with my desires. I have to avoid certain things, you see, or I have to, it could be a positive thing, I have to break down certain emotions also. But everything that I do is only as a preparatory action to set the stage for the real avoda, which is me'ava, which is the actual relationship. Okay?
Makes more sense.
But anyways, this is what the Ramban is saying, that mitzvah saseh, which is mitzvah saseh represents, and since perfection of man is an activity, so mitzvah saseh represents the activity. Mitzvah saseh represents the activity which involves perfection. And mitzvah lo saseh represents those things which one must avoid. Let me put it this way. Every mitzvah lo saseh can definitely only do what? Only accomplish what? Only set the stage for the positive relationship. No mitzvah lo saseh can ever be the perfection itself. That's an impossibility. What? Because every mitzvah lo saseh is the avoidance of an activity. And the avoidance could never result in this perfection, because this perfection is an activity. Avas Hashem is an activity. So no mitzvah lo saseh can ever do that. Alright? So that's why mitzvah lo saseh can only reflect Yira. Lo saseh can only reflect Yira.
Why is it necessarily so?
So therefore the avoidance can only be a means. The lo saseh can only be a means. That's all that's possible. Right? The perfection has to come from which class of mitzvahs? must come from the areas of the mitzvah sasei. Must come from the areas of mitzvah sasei. Right? Okay. However, you could still have an asi. You mean something?
However, you could have a mitzvah sasei. One can still question this point. So you can still say yes. You can still have a mitzvah sasei, which is not the relationship itself, which is do certain actions in order to have the relationship. So that would seem to be difficult. Why loy sasei, we could understand, can definitely not be the relationship itself. That's for sure. And the fact that the perfection must come from its sasei, that has to be. Well, since it's an activity, it must be from its sasei. But the question which remains is why there still can be a mitzvah sasei which is done out of yira as a means to have the situation of perfection. Right? That's the question. Alright? I'll tell you, not only that, it's a little more disturbing even, because really, insofar as Avas Hashem is concerned, if you ask me, where is Avas Hashem? So the Rambam has in the beginning of Hilchos Yisrei Atera. Not too many mitzvahs there. You know what I mean? I mean, Avas Hashem basically is Avas Hashem, like the Rambam says over there, Hey, Ketzidi Aderach Lavos V'Yira. So is the, and he feels a certain ava. That's Avas Hashem. That's it. I mean, not too many mitzvahs. All the other mitzvahs in the Torah are not involved in that positive, relationship. You see, you know what I mean? So that's the question. So our question takes. We still didn't resolve the problem. Our question takes a new form now, a little more precise, but we still have the question. Put on film in order to remember that God took Adam Mitzrayim, and this will cause you to reflect upon God. So it's only a means to the relationship. It itself is not, the film itself is not the relationship. It's only a means. Tzitzis, Urisim Osa, Zachartam Skol Mitzvah Hashem, so it reminds you of God. But the mitzvah of Tzitzis itself is not really, the relationship itself. You see? Giving Zdukah is a means to perfection. Recognition of another individual, being de-emphasizing your materialism. I mean, it's all means. You see, another difficulty is if you take a look at Lashon Rambam, the Rambam says, the way the Rambam says definitely won't fit into Upshot. Because the Rambam says, doesn't he say that? He says, the Kapach's translation, which I looked at this morning, was Yesh le Tafkid Gadol.
Yeah.
Ki le Yira Mavo Gadol be Mitzvahs Lo Sasei. For the Rambam, so he says that the oyev leishkach dover. It's mashma that the whole mitzvah says mashma. Okay. Let's perhaps the pshat like this. You see, the thing is that since the nature of perfection is an activity, so the question is like this: the nature of perfection is an activity, and the purpose of all the mitzvahs of the Torah are to bring a person to perfection. Correct? Alright, now I want to say like this. That since the ultimate purpose, of course, is a specific activity. That's perfection of man. But I want to say like this. The only way a person can be motivated to reach that activity, or let me put it this way, the closest thing that there is to that activity is of necessity something else which is an activity. He can only come to the true activity through something else which is an activity. Alright? What I mean is like this. That if a person does, let me put it in the descriptive, if a person does an action which itself is not the end purpose, but it's a means to the end purpose. Right? Now, I want to say that if the nature of that thing that he does is an action, this itself will inspire him to relate to the true activity. If it doesn't have the quality of action, it could never bring him close to the, cause him to relate to the true activity. Do you understand what I mean?
What
I'm trying to say is this, that inherent in reaching perfection is the quality of performance. If there is no performance, then there's something lacking in terms of reaching perfection. Since the very nature of perfection is an activity. Do you understand what I mean? Let me see. Exactly. You're not going to get there by year alone, by lo sase alone. By if there were only mitzvahs lo sase in the Torah, and besides all the mitzvahs lo sase, there was only one other mitzvah, v'af deser Hashem lekecha, the ultimate perfection, we would be lacking a means. We'd be lacking a means. Because when a person is involved in performance, the mere fact that he's involved in performance, in an activity, that itself, you see, brings him closer, or inspires him to get involved in the true activity. Because an activity per se has that quality, has a certain necessary quality in order to achieve perfection. What I mean is like this. Let me put it more in psychological terms. Every lo sase means avoidance of something. Every lo sase means, what does avoidance of something basically mean? It means that a person's energy goes to a certain object and he has to remove it. He has to withdraw. He has to remove it. Correct? Okay. Now, in a positive action, even if it is done, even if that action is not the ultimate perfection, you see, even if that action is not the ultimate perfection, but nevertheless, the action causes him to channel a certain amount of energy in a certain direction, correct? Since it is an action, it causes him to channel energy in a certain direction. So, it is in. Let's take a loisase. Take a loisase. A person shouldn't eat chazer, right? So what does it mean? It means a person has a desire for something, so he must refrain from eating chazer. So what does he do with that? How does it work psychologically? What does it mean? It means that he has to take that emotion, and he has to keep it in abeyance, prevent it from expressing itself, right? Okay. Now in an ase. The assay is not just to keep a certain emotion restrain a certain emotion. An assay demands positive expression, which means the positive direction of energy. If I tell you not to act, inaction means refraining from expressing your energy, right? And a positive action means, on the contrary, means the expression of energy, direction of energy, right? Now, since perfection in man is an activity, it means perfection in man involves expression of energy. Isn't that what it means? When I say perfection is an activity, what does it mean it's an activity? It means it involves the use of energy, the expenditure of his energy, right? Now, therefore, every assay also has in it the expenditure of energy, because it demands that a person do certain things. The doing itself means he must expend energy in a certain way. Now, the expenditure of energy is a necessary means in order to reach the true expenditure of energy. So if a person wants to awaken in himself his desire for perfection, he must do it through an action which is a direction of energies, you see? Through refraining alone will not bring him to perfection, because refraining is not directing his energy towards any positive thing. So let's say, for instance, a person gives tzedakah because even if he gives tzedakah for a false reason, he gives tzedakah because he's afraid or whatever. No, not the real reason. But the fact remains that he has to be merachem on the ani. He has to do an action. The idea is like this. He must channel certain energies in a positive way. That's what it means. And the same means, action by definition means channeling certain energies in a positive fashion. Taking certain energies and channeling them in a positive fashion. Otherwise, you can't do an action. Even in a minimal way, if nothing more than to do the action. But on the higher level, it's not just the action itself, you see. It's the positive emotions that go with it as well, even if it's on the emotional level, you see. Now, the thing is like this, that what the Ramban is saying is as follows. The Ramban and the Rambam. That in order to achieve the ultimate perfection, since perfection is an activity, a person must use as a means other activities which they involve, something which involves action. Like, let's say a person is misfollowed, not for the right reason. Misfollowed, not for the right reason. But the fact remains, since he's channeling his energy into that area, you see, when I say he does not for the right reason, I don't mean that he doesn't do it for the right reason of tefillah. I mean, he does it for the right reason of tefillah. But it's not the highest level of activity, because the highest level of activity is patamat tefillah. He's on the highest level. He's involved in the positive relationship with God. But if a person isn't involved in that highest level, but nevertheless he does an action of tefillah, which means he relates to God in his present state of mind, the way he is now. So it's true, it's not the highest level, you see, but it is a positive direction of energies towards the good. You understand what I mean? Now, that positive direction of energy towards the good is a much higher level than in the lo sasei, than in the negative, because he is closer to perfection so far as he's channeling energy in the right direction. You understand what I mean? Let me just, something I said before, I just want to correct. When I said before that he doesn't do it in the right way, I don't mean he doesn't do it in the right, he does it for the wrong reason. Not low lishma. Low lishma, forget about it. Yeah, I gave an example, you have to erase that. Yeah, I mean he does it for the right purpose of the mitzvah. The mitzvah says give tzedakah, it means recognize the oni, it means avas kol yisrael, do the will of God, do God's will, overlook your the monetary desires, your greed, you see? All these things, you see, in the mitzvah saseh, he has to redirect his energies. Redirecting his energies brings him closer to the ultimate relationship, because it's of a positive nature. It's a channeling of energy in the right direction. It might not be the ultimate, but it still is a channeling in the right direction, which means it brings him to a higher level. Whereas another step. Whereas in lo saseh, you can't have this, because in lo saseh, it's only avoidance. It's only avoidance. You see? I didn't eat chazer. You see what I'm saying? It's like this. When a person channels his energy, the ultimate desire of a person is to, what does a person want really in life? What is a person looking for? He's not looking for particulars. He's not looking for wealth. He's not looking for honor. He's not looking for physical goods. He's looking for a certain positive expenditure of energy which gives him pleasure in a certain way. See, that's what he wants. He wants to expend his energy in a pleasurable way. A person has a tremendous amount of energy. He can't, he's different than an animal. A cow can be satisfied chewing grass, but a person has a lot of energy. He wants to expend this energy in a way which gives him enjoyment in a positive way. You understand what I mean? That's his ultimate desire. Now, if he channels the energy in a positive way, even though it's on a lower level, it reflects, it awakens in him the concept of channeling the energy in the ultimate manner. You see? But you must have the action of channeling of energy. And channeling of energy is only found in mitzvah saseh. So even though the channeling of energy is not for the ultimate, it's as a means to the ultimate, but it still is involved and it still is a positive activity, you see? Whereas in lo saseh, in the lo saseh form, he's not really channeling the energy. All he's doing is just avoiding. He walks in Howard Johnson and doesn't buy a hot dog. So he's just avoiding the expenditure of energy in a bad way, you see. All right? That's why the mitzvahs I say represent Ava are closer to, than the mitzvahs lo saseh. See, the mitzvahs lo saseh. All right? And it includes all the mitzvahs, because every mitzvah saseh has this attribute. What? Things like this. There is Ava. What we're saying now in terms of the framework that we had before, what we're saying now is like this. The point is like this. The question we asked before, if a person does a positive action out of fear, like he does a positive action, he davens because he's afraid of something, then I would say it's questionable whether he's redirecting his energy really to the right thing. I mean, because the redirection has to have the true objective has to be there. Has to be a redirection of energy towards the true objective. If he does it for the wrong reason, because he's superstitious, let's say, davens because he's superstitious. So that's, there's no value. He's doing it out of fear that something's going to get struck by lightning. That's why he davens. Unless, of course, insofar as the davening itself, he's directing his energy at that moment towards God, so there, insofar as that's concerned, there is a direction of energy. But the important thing is that there must be a direction of energy towards the good. See, a direction of energy towards the good. Now, in Lo Sase, there's no such thing. In Lo Sase, it's only the prevention of the release of energy towards something which is bad. All right? It corresponds perfectly to the psychological principle of the psychological principle of the pleasure-pain principle in man. And basically, that corresponds exactly to that. In pleasure, a person directs his energy towards a good, or what he considers to be a good. You see, in pain, a person avoids. You see, he withdraws himself and prevents energy release in order that he shouldn't be harmed. You see, it's avoidance of pain. Mitzvah sase and mitzvah lo sase correspond to those to that basic psychological principle in man. Philosophically, you see, it's the philosophical parallel to the pleasure-pain principle, you see. But the philosophical parallel is as follows, that a person should direct his energies towards that which is the real good. That's the assay, that's the direction of the energies towards the good, and the holding back, withholding of energies towards something which is evil. See, in the psychological principle, it's nothing more than pleasure and pain. In the philosophical system, it's good and evil. That's the difference between the psychological and the philosophical. Psychological knows about pleasure and pain. I mean, it's pleasurable, it's painful. That's it. There's no value system. In the philosophical system, it's the good, directing towards the good. The good might be painful sometimes, but it's good. And conversely, the avoidance of evil, which might be pleasurable. You see, pleasure and good are not synonymous. And the philosophical system is different, but it corresponds insofar as the expression of energy is concerned, the breakdown of energy, the basic breakdown corresponds to the same phenomena. You have the psychological phenomena of pleasure pain, the pleasure pain principle, and this is such a basic thing in man, you see, that the Torah set up mitzvah sase and mitzvah lo sase based on that principle. That's the basic. That's the underlying phenomena, which is on which Asay and Lo Sase is based. You see, all right. Let's say a person will give tzedakah only because he doesn't want his son to die. He has nothing to do with the good at all. There's no motivation in the good. It's just a superstitious action. So then it's no good. Then I'd say he has nothing to do with the reaching the good. He's not directing his energy in any way towards the good. It's just a superstitious action. There's no good involved. See, even though the Gemara says a person gives tzedakah manas yichya b'niyat saragama, yeah, but the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that's only because he doesn't take it back if his son dies. You see, but if he says he gives it on a t'nai and that's his only motivation, so then it's worthless. Like the Gemara says, in fact, the Gemara says the Kerisha Balshatza who used to support the Migdash, used to support the Beis Hamikdash, the Kabbonis over there. Because they wanted, they felt it was good because the Jews will pray for them and it will be beneficial for their melucha. Gemara says it was worthless. They get nothing out of it. No schar at all. That's the pshat. That's the asay and that's the los asay. That's what the Ramban means. Okay? What's the question? In other words, insofar as the disbursement of energy is concerned, the asay is the direction of energy towards the good. You see? That's what asay represents. You see? Every asay. So therefore, what we extended, the ultimate perfection of man is an activity. That's only very few assays. Only very few assays. But however, every assay, if done with the, insofar as it's done with the proper intent, partakes of directing energy towards the good. You see? And therefore it partakes, insofar as that is concerned, it is close to Ahava. It is close to Ahava, because Ahava is the direction of energy towards the good. You see? It is not, the energy has not been directed yet towards the ultimate good, but it still is being directed, you see? It partakes of Ahava in an extended sense, you see? Insofar as you are directing your energy towards the good, that brings a person, inspires a person to direct his energy towards the ultimate good, because the ultimate good can only be reached through the proper expenditure of energy, see? Whereas Lo Sase is not an expenditure of energy. Lo Sase is just the avoidance of expenditure of energy, you see? That's Lo Sase. That is necessary in order to avoid harm. It's true, it's necessary in order to avoid certain harm, but it is not, that is not Ahava, you see? That's what he says, that's what he calls Yira. And that's why I say Docha Lo Sase. That's why I say dochalos asay. Why? Because in the asay, where the person is involved in the performance, a closer relationship, he's involved in the actual performance, he's directing his energy towards the good, then the los asay doesn't plays no role at all. The los asay is necessary in order to teach the person to maintain his energy. You see? To maintain his energy, so that he shouldn't expend them in a bad way. The asay tells him what to do with it. Now, if he's involved in using the energy, there's no need anymore for the los asay. See? That's the truth. When you have the asay b'mkom asay, there's no need for the los asay. The los asay is to teach a person not to spend his energy in a bad thing. But if he's expending the energy in this action on a good thing, so on the contrary, that's the purpose of the los asay. So therefore, there's no reason for him to avoid los asay. Yeah. So now the Ramban says this also explains why the punishment is greater for the los asay. Why is the punishment greater for the los asay? Go ahead. In the los asay, if a person doesn't do the asay, so it means his energy is in a suspended state. It is neither going towards the good, nor is it going towards the bad. In the los asay, it means that his energy is being attached to evil. You see? That's why the Ramban says, that's why the onshim exists in the los asay, and not in the asay. That's what the Ramban means. You see what I mean? That's what the Ramban means.
That's exactly right.
Because you think the other way. That if I say is dochalos asay, so I say is more important. So if you don't do the asay, you should get more of an onus. No, that's if you don't understand how it works. What we're dealing with is the disbursement of energy. Now, therefore, in the asay, you're expending the energy in the proper manner. Right? In the los asay, you're expending it in the wrong manner. Now, if the person doesn't do the asay, so it's true, he hasn't reached the level of expending it in the proper manner. You see, but at least the energy is not being spent in the wrong way, so there's no onus for that. Whereas if he spends it the wrong way in the low sasay, he has wrong attachments. That's where the onus comes in. The onus means the Torah insists that a person must never have his attachment, his positive energy attachment, to the wrong way. See? Otherwise, he's in a hopeless state. That's why he has to have an onus. If he didn't spend it yet in the proper way, as long as he's in a state of tension, he still didn't release the energy, then there's a good chance he's going to do it in the proper way. That's it. What is a person basically afraid of? You wouldn't say a person's afraid that he might not have tremendous pleasure. That's not fear. Fear is a person's afraid of harm, physical harm. Now, harm, according to Yahadis, is defined as the attachment of the energy with something which is philosophically evil. You see? That's why Yira is lo sasai. That's why Yira is lo sasai. Questions we ask, we're only dealing with one quality in the essay, and that's the expenditure of energy. That's what. And in lo sasai, we're only dealing with one quality. That is the expenditure of energy towards something which is evil. Now, in order to avoid something which is evil, you need fear. In order to expend your energy on something which is good, you have to have a positive desire for it. The mashal of the Adam is like this. When the Adam does good for his master, he is directing, the action of good is the direction of the energy towards the master. You see? The action, that's where he's actually inherently is directing his energy towards the master. When he does something good for the master. Right? That's mitzvah say, right. Now, when he refrains from doing harm to the master, all he's doing is, he's not really expending his energy in the positive relationship with the master, because he's not doing anything for the master. But he's just refraining from expending his energy in a harmful way. You see? That's the mitzvah los asay. That's the mitzvah. Okay? Interesting is that asay and los asay, like we said before, is the philosophical parallel of the, on the lower level, on the psychological level, of the pleasure-pain principle that psychologists talk about. That's what it is. Yeah, now let's go back to the Ram. Now you see how nicely the Ram fits in. The Ram is like this. The Ram said, like we said last week, that avod me ava, avod me yira. What does it mean? It means that a person must serve Hashem from Ava, the positive. But that he can't do all the time. It's only at certain times. A person is not on a level where he can constantly be enthralled with God, constantly be involved. That's only the Rambam says, Lavka Lodom Lavka Chacham Zechel Azeh. Even the highest Chachamim wanted Zechel to be on such a level that they're constantly enraptured by the knowledge of God. It's a very high level. So when a person isn't involved in that activity, so then he must be concerned with the avoidance. Since his energy isn't involved in the positive, he must be concerned with the prevention of his energy from slipping into the wrong things, being attached to the wrong things. Then he's Avod Meira. That's Avod Meira. Avod Meira means the avoidance. And that's what the Rambam says, that fits in very well with the idea of the mitzvah sase and mitzvah lo sase, the Rambam says. Because all mitzvah sase, which means that they, which involve the direction of energy, there's two breakdowns. There's a direction of energy through mitzvah sase, and then there's the prevention of energy being lost and being attached to the wrong things through mitzvah lo sase. The person has to be involved in both facets the same way. That a person must be involved constantly in directing his energy towards the good, and also in preventing his energy from slipping towards the bad. That's the same laws I say. Now, yira, according to the Rambam, we said last week, what is the definition of yira? Yira means where the person isn't in a natural state, where he's involved in his most natural activity, which is love of God. But in yira, he's involved in the conflict and preventing himself from doing certain harmful actions. You see? So that's the that's represented exclusively. The Rambam says, "Kili yira mitzvah mavei gadol the mitzvahs leisasei." That's represented exclusively in the leisasei. You see, in the leisasei, what is the whole idea of the leisasei? It's to prevent the energy. That's the area of conflict. To prevent the energy from flowing, being attached to the wrong things. You see. So just to summarize briefly, we answered that the question was that a person can do an asay out of fear, and he can do a los asay out of ava. We said it's not the question of the motivation for the action; it's the question of the nature of the action. In the nature of the asay, a person is involved in the direction of energy, which is an extension of ava. Whereas in los asay, it's the avoidance of the expenditure of energy, which is the concept of yira. Okay. In this year, we don't mean nonsensical fear of punishment. That the Rambam that the Rambam the Yadach HaZaka says is not really too valid. What we mean, the fear of the harm that might occur to him. In other words, what the Ramban is saying is that Zachar V'Shomer means that it's broken up into two classes. The Mitzvah Sei and the Mitzvah Lo Sei, broken up into two different classes. It's not just that there are instructions and some of them are positive and some of them are negative. But they're broken up into Zachar V'Shomer, two separate classes. Why are they two separate classes? Because insofar as human perfection is concerned, they relate to human perfection in two different ways. Now we just wanted to, the last point I want to mention, back to the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos and Avos. So the Rambam says Ki Liyira Mavei Gadol Mitzvos Leisaser. So I went through what the Pshat is over there. Well, I explained up till here, but there's one point I wanted to understand why the Rambam mentions. The Rambam says Ki Liyira Mavei Gadol Mitzvos Leisaser, right? I mean the Koshkim Mitzvah Shemiyes. Koshkim Mitzvah Shemiyes means the what? The Chukim. What does that have to do with the Chukim? So it's like this. What the Rambam is saying here is that a person has to be Eved Hashem in two ways. One is Me'ava, means through the positive enjoyment of the involvement in the good. That's one, you see. But that we mentioned, that experience is not one that a person always has. Like the Rambam says in the Yad HaZorka, he says to be Eved Me'ava on a constant basis, he says, Lav Kol Chacham Zechala. So even Gedele HaChacham warns they had such a thing. But a person, the average person, can perceive Avas Hashem at certain times. You can be involved in a sugya and enjoy it, and you can perceive Avas Hashem, but that's a momentary thing. What is he doing when he's not involved? He has to operate through yira. Through yira, then it means he has to retain, prevent his emotions from getting attached to other objects. Because through the attachment to the other objects, the emotion, the energy, the psychic energy will be used up, and he will not be able to use it for a higher good, you see? So therefore, he has to operate from the yira. The average person, mostly Meira. Sometimes he works Me'ava. But Yira, the definition of Yira means is the ability to control, self-control. Doesn't mean fear of Einish. That the Rambam looks down upon a person who serves Hashem from Yira's Einish. That the Rambam says is only Shaitim, Ketanim, and Avodim. You see? That the Rambam looks down upon. But Yira over here, the Rambam means a different meaning of Meira. Yira means where there's conflict. Ava means where he just loves what he's doing. It's a natural activity. naturally enjoys what he's doing. In Yira, there's conflict. He's refraining from doing something. That's Yira. Okay, so Yira, so a person must operate in the Yira and Me'ava. Now he says, a Koshkin be mitzvah sashimiyes. What does it mean, the Koshkin be mitzvah sashimiyes? Mitzvah sashimiyes means like this. It means a chukim, something which a person doesn't understand. Yira means the ability to control the emotions. That's what Yira is. The ability to control. In Ava, you don't need any control. Ava is a natural, he's naturally expressing himself. There's no control in Ava. On the contrary, you call us Ava on it. He doesn't, he loses his soul perspective. He's completely involved in Avas Hashem. He doesn't recognize anything else. Everything else has no value to him. In Yira, he's involved in control, in self-control. So the Rambam says that the self-control will be, is most necessary when it comes to Chukim, because in Chok, there is no reason. So there, by Chok, the only way that he could operate with Chok is through self-control. Because since he does not have any understanding as to why he's doing it and what benefit is to be gained from it, so there's no other way that he could perform it except through this ability of control. It's a situation of conflict because he's controlling himself, but that ability to remain in a state of conflict, you see, and to not expend the energy in the direction that that his emotions want to, that ability of self-control is most necessary when it comes to mitzvah sashimiyes, to the chukim. Because over there, there's nothing else restraining him. Okay. Rambam tells the story. This Chacham had two Talmidim. Shemo Echad. Rashi also brings down the story of Tzadik and Baisis. It's interesting. I mean, if it's just a story over here, I mean, why? So the Rambam brings down the story. But Rashi also brings it down. Apparently, it has something to do with the Pshat and the Memra. It's not just the story. You know what I mean? That's number one. We have to understand why. What is this so important for the Pshat and for the Pirush and the Memra? If the Rambam just mentioned it, I say, okay, so he mentioned it. Rashi also mentions it. Apparently it's important over here for the member. What relevance does that for the member? Oh, we'll get back to that. But first let's take something as a question that's more open in the Rambam. What's the question that's more open in the Rambam? The first thing the Rambam says is, he says that they denied everything. They only did it. It was really subterfuge, in other words. They were attempting to fool people. How does the Rambam know? Maybe they weren't sincere. The Rambam interviewed them. The Rambam asked them what their kavanah was. Maybe they were sincere people. This is what they believed. They believed that we can only accept Torah shebiksav, and we can't accept Torah shebalpeh. I mean, just because the Rambam shita is always that it doesn't matter what the cause of the person's mistaken emunah is. As long as he has the mistaken emunah, he's on that level, whatever level it might be. Like the Rambam says, that's the Rambam Shita, Rambam Shita Yad HaChazaka too. That even if a person should make a mistake in terms of what Teresh B'Ksav means, like he'll think when it says Yad Hashem, it means the hand. The Rambam says that he's a min. He's a min. It's because it's not his fault. He wants to learn Pshat. The Rambam doesn't care if it's his fault or not. The Rambam Shita is straight through. It doesn't matter whether it's his fault or not. The Rambam says in the mirror, the Rambam says that if they have a desire, it's not their fault either. Because they were raised that way since early youth, and it's not their fault. This is what they were trained to believe, and yet we see the Chayav Kalaya, the Chayav Misa. The Rambam isn't interested with whether a person is a min or not. Does not depend upon his will to whether he willfully does it or whether he's just misinformed. He's still in the same category. That's Rambam Shita straight through. Okay, why it is so is a different story, but that's what the Rambam holds. That's the Rambam Shita. Now that's the case, so why does the Rambam have to? Rambam's not making them any worse by saying that they're liars. Why if they're liars? Rambam could say that this is what they really believe. Yeah, well, it doesn't make any difference. I mean, a man is a man. He's kafir be. He's just not pekaris. He's kafir in Torah Shebaal Peh. So he's not pekaris. So why does Rambam say that they really didn't believe this, and how does the Rambam know it, moreover? Maybe there was a person can't have a serious, honest mistake, and he can't honestly make this mistake. Why do I have to say he didn't? Yeah, that's one. But there's something else. Before we go into that question, let's understand another thing the Rambam says. The Rambam says like this. The Rambam says, he says that they couldn't put it over, the Rambam says, to the masses, because the masses wouldn't accept this. That's what the Rambam says. So he says an interesting thing. He says, because this evil belief will separate those that are gathered together. Certainly it will not gather together those who are separated. That's what the Rambam says. Why? Well, why? Why is it so? Well, what does he mean over there? What does he mean by that statement? Why is it so? Yeah, there are plenty of crazy beliefs. On the contrary, you see, people flock to these crazy beliefs. So why is the Rambam so sure that this belief is going to separate people? The Rambam says it's going to separate them. How do you know it's going to separate them? Why are people going to have a tendency to gather together around certain ridiculous ideas? The more ridiculous issues, the more they gather. What is the belief, basically? What is the belief? The belief is that the simple idea that there is no such thing is Chavainish. So, what's so terrible? I mean, and let's understand, how did they understand Altiyu Kavodim HaMasham Shemes HaRav HaMenasal Kav Pras? How did they understand it? So they understood simply. They say what Antignus Ishsecha was saying was that there is no reward at all. There's no reward at all. So why should a person do things? So why should a person, if that's the case, so why should a person do something? Because of the good. Because of the inherent good. But what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Why should that separate people? The contrary. It's a wonderful thing. You should do it only lishma. So let's say there's no scharvainet. What does Antignus Yisrecha really means? That a person shouldn't work for scharvainet. That shouldn't be his motivation. His motivation should be the activity itself, right? I mean, that's what everybody learns pshat. That's what he means, lishma. Mm-hmm. Not for any benefit or any gain. So just because they didn't believe that there is any benefit or gain, they said like this. They said even further. Not only shouldn't you work for a benefit or gain, but there is no benefit or gain. Even better. So you can't work Shalei Lishma. You have no choice. You have to only work Lishma. So what's so terrible about that? I mean, why should that cause such a disruption? I would think on the contrary. So that's the case. A person should be Shema Tera Mitzvahs just for the actual purpose of doing the right thing. There's no Schar Vainish. I mean, well, why is... Well, so what? So there's no Schar Vainish. So what? Yeah. Yeah. Moreover, just because they maintain that there's no Schar Vainish, why do they have to reject the whole idea of Torah? Why do they have to reject the whole idea of Torah? That's the basic question. There's no Schar Vainish. That's what I'm thinking, Mr. Shekhe said. Yeah, by the way, I mean, that's clear what the Rambam mentioned. This sheet exists today. This is the same sheet that reappears through history all the time. This is the same sheet that conservatives in the Shekhe Seminary use. Same sheet. There's one premise that's missing in the Rambam. Listen, take a look. The Oveis Rav Nosson gives a little history of the Stukim by Susan. It's in Perek Hay, the second Halacha Beis. Okay? He says like this. It says, Ilu haya yoydin av Rabbi Seino, sheyesh olam acha, sheyesh tchias ameisim lo yomertach. They wouldn't have said this. But they knew, really, they said, Chazal really knew, that there's no such thing. Amdu upirshu min atera. The nifritzu mehem shtei pratzai. And then, alright, that's the story. Now it is. Vayu mishtamshim b'chlei chesef v'chlei zov kol yameyam. Shehoysa, it's supposed to be. Shehoysa daiton gasa aleyam. You see? Tzdukim ha'am mitzaresu b'yad purushim she'im mitzarem atzman b'olam hazeh u'b'olam habo. Tzdukim ha'am mitzaresu b'yad purushim she'hein. It would be better to say oysan she'hein mitzaren atzman b'olam hazeh u'l'olam habo in lam klok. Alright? The lesson is a little difficult. Okay. That was their philosophy. Okay, interesting, huh? Interesting thing. So you see, the other Rav Nosson also brings down the story over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. One premise that becomes obvious from reading the other Rav Nosson. They ask, what do they ask? Efshe the poel. What is it? Efshe shiyasa poel kol yom lo yidl skori arvus. What do they hold? They held the premise was they weren't on a level in which they could perceive Torah lishma, Torah mitzvah lishma. You see, that's why they asked the question. You see, what they held was they thought like this. The only thing that a person should receive, the only way they could understand repayment, benefit from mitzvahs, was in terms of repayment. You see, in terms of zeh tachazeh. In other words, I'm giving up this good, but I'll be receiving another good. That's the only way they could understand the Torah mitzvahs. They couldn't perceive Asiya Lishma. You see? That level they couldn't perceive. That's why they asked the Kasha. They said, Efshe Shiyasa Poel Malocha Kolayam Kulay. And La'arvis Ein Lahem Sar. What do you mean, Efshe Shiyasa? It's not a question. If you tell me, if a doctor tells you to take a prescription because it's good for you, so what are you going to say? I'm going to take this prescription. I'm not going to get anything. He's not going to pay me in reward or anything in return for this. It's nonsensical. That's the reward. The reward is the very fact that you're doing the good. That's the greatest reward. But they, the premise that they had was they could not comprehend, that they didn't believe that the actual good was a spiritual good, a non-physical good. You see, they didn't believe in it. What they believed the good was the physical good. They didn't believe in the non-physical good. So therefore, they could only understand it in terms of repayment. That if I suffer over here, if I do this, then I'll be repaid. What's the proof that that's the pshat? You have another proof from the other side, nothing, that's the pshat. Because it says, steep themselves in taif, it says. You see? This is what the other side nothing adds to the picture. What's the pshat? The pshat is that they maintained, there's where you see what they maintained the good was. What was the good? The good was the physical good. You see? That's what they maintained. And they used to say that there's a Mesiris beyond Prushim, that the Prushim really knew that a person who suffers in this world gets nothing in return in Elam Abba. You see? That's what they understood. In other words, what they were saying was that there is no such thing. What they were saying was that there is no such thing as compensation. That there's no such thing as compensation in Elam Abba. Were they wrong or were they right? There's no compensation in Elam Abba. Yeah, the Rambam explains in the Chelek they were right. According to what the Rambam explains, they were right. There is no such thing as compensation. Because compensation would mean that a person that learned Torah, he's going to get something better than that in Elam Abba, but there can't be anything better, you see? So therefore, there is no such thing as compensation. It's true, there is no such thing. You aren't compensated for suffering in this world. That they knew the Chacham said, but there was only one other premise. Their premise was that there has to be, that the good cannot be the performance itself. So that's what they said, Efshe Shiyasu Malocha Kolayam Kula Yivalayil Shari, because now it's impossible. The its thing itself is not going to, there's no benefit from the thing itself. Right? So then the only reason I should do it is for something else, and something else doesn't exist, so therefore there's no purpose in doing it. That was their philosophy. Okay? Yeah. It wasn't a part of their philosophy, you see. That's the point. Okay. Alright. How do you see, and that's what the other Tzav Nosson is trying to point out, how do you see that it wasn't a part of their philosophy that a person should involve and indulge himself in the enjoyment of thought for the sake of the enjoyment of thought per se, like a philosopher? That exactly, that's why they put that there. To show you that wasn't their philosophy. Okay? Alright. Now, we'll understand something else. The Rambam says that this idea, he says, separates those who are gathered together. Certainly it doesn't gather together those who are separated. What's the pshat? Why? We said point out like this. The pshat is, their idea was that the only good is materialism. That was their idea. Now, if the only good is a materialistic good, that's what your philosophy is, so such an idea will definitely separate those who are together. Because actually, I mean, what we all know, I mean, honesty among thieves. What keeps thieves together? It's only the only way they can stay together is if one doesn't attempt to outdo the other one. Why do they break apart? Why do they fall apart? Is because usually because the greed, the value system which they're operating in, has to turn one against the other. Because the value system of a thief is that the only value is to grab what you can for yourself. That's his philosophy, right? Oh, now if three people work together, each one has the same philosophy, he says, hey, why should I apply it only to those people? What's the best over here? I mean, I have to be consistent, you see. The consistency of the thief will definitely break apart the group. The only way thieves can stay together is if they're inconsistent, you see. So that's what the Rambam means. The Rambam means this philosophy of materialism, of absolute materialism, has to break apart those who are together. Because it has to, by definition, it means the only thing in the value in this world is the physical, right? Is X amount of physical. That is the good, right? Now, therefore, I have to do everything I can to get what I can for myself, which means I must, by definition, forget about, not be concerned with you. Correct? That's what the Rambam means. So he says this philosophy would never be able to attract a group. Interesting, huh? So since they saw this philosophy will never be able to attract the group, so therefore they had to change it. What did they do? They put it under the guise of Torah. They said they really They said, really, we accept Torah Shebichtav. They use the framework of Torah. Okay? And they use the framework of Torah. And they said, the only thing is we cannot accept is the Pirush of the Chachamim, because that's too much already. That's too much. That takes away the whole Olam Hazeh. So a certain amount, we could accept the Torah. The Torah wouldn't bother us. Torah won't interfere with our Olam Hazeh. Torah doesn't interfere with Olam Hazeh. Well, that's the same thing you have today also, you see. What's the idea of, why do conservative Jews arrive at such a conclusion? Because such a conclusion, as the Rambam's pointing out, such a conclusion is very practical. Because Torah Shebichtav doesn't really interfere. If you can explain Torah Shebichtav in your own way, it won't interfere really too much with your life of tithes. You can have your life of tithes and you can explain away the psukim very, very easily. It's a convenient thing. It's as if they had something right in front of them. This breakdown they had right in front of them was something which was just served their purpose. Yeah, just made to order, you see? That's the basic idea. Nice, certain things you accept. They make kiddush, you eat challah, certain things are nice. Get together, family gets together. These things are all enjoyable. They're part of your tithes, you see? The only problem is when Torah Shebaal Peh moves in, that's when your Olam Hazeh really is shaken a little bit, you see? That's when you have a problem. So they found this ready-made philosophy which is tailored exactly to their needs. Okay, yes. The question really is, so why do conservative Jews park their car in the parking lot right near the shul, on the shul's parking lot? What's the answer? Not burning a fire, but why do they smoke? It's only in the old days when it was difficult to start a fire. See, once you can be mefarish, the Ram says, the Ram mentions it, each one you can be mefarish everything the way you want. That's the basic philosophy. What does it mean? What is the B'mashi Yitzah? What determines the B'mashi Yitzah? His own emotions. His tithes. The tithes will determine. Of course, you have to understand, there's a certain part of man a man is not just a Baal Taiva. I want you to understand. It's not just a Baal Taiva. There's a certain higher element in man also. A person just can't think of himself as a Baal Taiva. Yeah, certain things that he, certain sophistication in man. This sophistication is also a Taiva. You see? It's also a taiva. It's a different type of taiva. But it's a taiva. It comes from a different part of the human mind, but it's a taiva. So this, a person allowed to, left alone, to just do things that he feels are nice, and that he feels are right, and he feels are good, will have a perfect system. He will have a perfect system with Torah Shebichtav. Okay? As a matter of fact, Torah Shebichtav is a benefit for him in his taivas. Why? Because it will make him feel better. A person, that's another feeling a person wants to have. He wants to be attached to a higher system. He's serving God. He's doing things. You see? You understand what I mean? So this type of thing is something which he could use for his own benefit. Make him even happier. Okay? All right. That's what the Rambam means. Now there's only one question. What's the question you have to ask? There's one question. What's the question? Question is, why did they do this? Why did they do this? And two questions. Why did they do this? And how does the Rambam know that's really what they did? Maybe they really believed in it. Okay. Why did they do this? Why did Tzadik and Baisa do this for? If you don't believe, if your philosophy, their philosophy was absolute materialism, right? Hedonism. So then why weren't they just hedonists? Why did they have to make this whole system of it? What's the answer? The question now is one of motivation, all right? What was the motivation? There are two possibilities in the Rambam. I don't know which one is more, presents itself more in terms of the text itself. All right? Yeah. I would say that it could be, take a look on the inside of Rambam. What do you see? There's two possibilities in the Rambam. What are the two possibilities? Two possibilities are this. One possibility is simply they were power hungry. They were power hungry. That's one possibility. Yeah, they want the leadership. They wanted this exactly. Just like you have people today who start these cults, and we see it. People today start these cults, why? For power. Covet is a big taiva. The person wants to be the leader of a group, right? That's his, what? They considered great sages. Considered wise people. I mean, it's a big. That itself is a big taiva. It's the biggest taiva. Covet is the biggest taiva. What? Exactly, because they couldn't have this covet unless they did this. So they created a system just like after today. People do that. These are crazy systems. Moonies are all these systems. So these systems, why do people start these systems? Because the one who starts it is convinced that to be the leader of a system is an inherent good. Tremendous cover. The man has a tremendous honor. He's respected. Yeah, he benefits the most. So it's a wonderful thing to do. Very good thing. Why should a person, have to work in this world and be a nobody and have to toil and work, exert himself? He has he's on easy street. Has a whole following, and that's it. They support him. They give him cover. They give him everything he wants. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. It's the best. I read about the one who started Scientology. And he said the biggest, the best business is religion. That's what it is. People don't understand. That's the best business. Multi-billionaire. Everything, his slightest whim is done in a second. So at any rate, the point is like this. So this is, so Tzadik and Bais also, they recognize this. They also recognize this. They weren't fools. They recognize this tremendous benefit. That's one thing. That's one reason. That's one reason why. There's another possibility why they did it. What's the other possibility why they did it? What? Fear. Right, exactly. Because they didn't want to have to live their lives in hiding. They didn't want to have to live, they didn't want to have to not be able to walk out in the street and do publicly whatever they want to do. But for the person, since the whole society was one that maintained that you have to have Shemiras HaMitzvahs, so therefore, if they don't have any answer, so therefore they're guilty. So people, either people will attack them physically to harm them, you know what I mean? Or even the shame, the degradation, the guilt. I mean, why should a person have to walk or live in hiding? I mean, and not be able to be free and do what he wants? So they had a good answer. But their answer was, the answer to the Hamon could not have been the real answer. They couldn't have told them, because we're really hedonists, we believe in materialism, because that they wouldn't accept. So the only, so they said no. They said, we also accept Torah. But the thing is that the Chacham have no right to interpret the Torah the way they see fit. We can also interpret the Torah. Good answer, you see? Good answer. Why do you have conservative Judaism today? Why do you have it? Why do you have to have it for? Why don't people just say, no, nothing? Forget it. Why? Because a certain amount of guilt. A person can't just leave. He can't just leave the system of Yadus, just walk away and say that you have no shaykhus to religion. Religion of your fathers, generations. I mean, you can't just walk away. So a certain amount of guilt. So the guilt causes them to, is the guilt is assuaged the moment you have a compromise formation. Compromise. Yeah. But of course, you see, the next generation doesn't have that guilt. The next generation goes further away. That's why they lose in the long run, because it's only the first step of that. And then the next generation has less guilt, so they go further away. Okay. But it does satisfy something, you see? Yes. Bless my mother. Really, there's two possibilities in the Lashon HaRambam. You see, if you take a look at the first part of Lashon HaRambam, it's mashma the first reason. He says, "V'kasha lo hoyu yocholim lekabe takehilos lefi mashi gielam minu amuna." You see, they weren't able to mekabe takehilos. What is the lashon mekabe takehilos? It sounds there. The implication around them is that they wanted to start a whole movement. You see, mekabe takehilos, to start a whole new thing. That was the emotion that was really motivating them. You take a look at further on later, in the Rambam runs like this. He says, the second wide line, the Zer.